We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 still. Father God, I just thank you for your word. And I just pray, Lord, that as I speak, Lord, that your word will touch our hearts and our minds and will put us in a place, Lord, that we seek after you. It's not about gifts, as we will see here, Lord, that Paul is going to have to speak to the Corinth church because some problems. And yet, Lord, like a loving leader, he speaks to them, Lord. He doesn't start off with rebuking them, but speaking to them, Lord. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us as we go through these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting with the fourth verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, starting with the fourth verse, Paul, he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Paul couldn't say, I thank my God for you, for your righteousness, because the Corinthians weren't very righteous. He couldn't say, I thank my God for your faith, because they weren't very faithful. Paul could, however, say, I thank my God for his grace given on your behalf, because they really needed it. Here Paul continues to speak to the Corinth church positively. You remember last week when we started, he's like being very cool and he's saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to the church in Corinth. He started off really nice. He's not jumping in because he heard some bad things. But rather than just jumping right into it, he's talking to them. He's speaking to them in this letter very, very nice, like a true leader should. So here, like I said, he continues to speak to the Corinth church positively. In verse 2, he started off by calling them saints that are sanctified in Christ. That is all those who call Jesus their Lord and Savior, whose lives reflect his love and his grace. He doesn't start off by rebuking them. He continues by thanking God for the grace he had given them. This way of speaking was to remind them that they, as believers, were to trust in the Lord. They were to trust in the God who gave them and us today, the Lord Jesus, who died on Calvary for the remissions of our sins, whose death has transformed the life of all believers from sin that leads us into eternal death, but also to the grace and peace with God. His death brought that grace and peace between us and God through the blood of Jesus Christ. His death saved us from God's wrath to giving us eternal life with him in glory. Brought to you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was given to us. So Paul says that he is always thanking God for them, concerning the grace that has been given to them by God through his Son Jesus Christ. Like the loving leader he was, Paul does not mention right off about the problems the church was having. He praised them because he knew that they were true believers. But like us today, we can find ourselves in a tough situation sometimes because we've made bad decisions. Or maybe we are affected by someone else's bad decisions. We face bad times at times as Christians, and sometimes we make mistakes. But whatever the case, it is not a good place to be in. Paul points out that God's grace that was given to them by our Lord and Savior has enriched their lives and everything by him. Paul did not let what was happening in the church to cause him to take his eyes from the effects that God's grace was still working in their lives. Maybe some of them lost sight. Maybe they lost sight of that, but not all of them. Paul was thankful that they were believers in Christ and that they had been saved. Even though they were showing signs of weakness and shortcomings, like taking care of the church by not allowing these sins to cause such problems to the church or in the church, and yet he was thankful that they were in Christ. When a person's life is truly in Christ, he or she wants nothing to do with sin. And remember, as individuals, we make up the church. When we're right with God, we do not want sin in our lives or in the body of believers who makes up the church. We don't want sin in our body of Christ. We don't want to live in sin. Paul will later tell the Corinth church in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that he lives in you? Jesus told his apostles in John 14:16 that he was going to pray that the Father will give them another helper and that this helper will be with them forever in John 14. And in John 14:26, Jesus tells them that this helper that he's talking about is the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit of God that helps us, that keeps us. God will send him, and when he comes, he will teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance, meaning everything that Jesus had taught them, they would remember. When you and I, as Jesus followers, as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will not so easily fall into temptation when we're truly being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying that we can't fall into sin or temptations, but what I am saying, it's not as easy as if we were not being led by God's Holy Spirit. And let me be clear of this. Not everyone in the church of Corinth was being led by the Holy Spirit, nor are the churches of today who allow the world without resistance to enter the church and turn it from the Word of God to bowing at the feet of modern-day Baal, modern-day idolatry. They're bowing more down to the way people are feeling. I feel this way, I feel that way. And a lot of churches are bowing down to that. But at least the church of Corinth and its leaders realized that they needed help and advice from their spiritual shepherd and founder, which was Paul. And the fifth verse says that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. So they were enriched in all utterance and all knowledge, even though the church was spiritually suffering, and yet they, by the grace of God, were still being blessed. God was still blessing them. A lot of times people believe that, oh, I'm so blessed by God, that makes them a Christian. But it doesn't. It's the grace of God. God's grace reigns on the unjust just as well as the just. So you can't always say that because you're blessed that you're Christian. Or God is blessing me because I'm always blessing other people. That could be true. But what could not be true, it doesn't mean that you're a Christian unless you're born again. So here's this church. It's filled with gifts and everything that was moving, but there were some bad things that were going on in it. So what we have to realize it is the grace of God that enriches us. Even though some of them went foul in the church, his grace still reigned within that church. And because his grace was in the lives of the believers, they were enriched in every way. They were being blessed. But the problem was that they became more engrossed with the idea of possessing the gifts of the Spirit while losing interest in the one who gave them the gifts, God through Jesus Christ. And even today, you will hear about churches that the gifts are moving, but the Word of God is not being taught. And people's lives are still shaky because, you know, they go to particular churches because the Spirit is moving, the gifts. But again, it means nothing if the Word of God is not being taught, is not being preached. You see, they were blessed with being able to talk about God and what they knew about God. Today, they would be seen as a great inspirational speakers because they spoke so well. They spoke very well. In the Greek culture, if you were a good speaker, you got the attention of people. It was one of the biggest things you could have going on in your life, being able to stand and utterance or speak the word of whatever you're talking about, philosophy or whatever. And today we have pastors and evangelists can speak very well. These people, they were so enriched by God's grace, they were able to explain well about their faith, and they had been blessed with spiritual knowledge and understanding. But the problem was, they were making a bigger deal about being able to speak well and were not really concerned too much about having the knowledge of God's word. Utterance is an outward experience. Knowledge is all about the inward comprehension of the truth. When you have a good comprehension of what the truth is, it should be the truth that should move you and not the gifts. Because it's better to know what the Word of God says so that we can align our lives with the Word rather than depending on gifts. Gifts are secondary. They're not the main thing. It's the Word of God, and when we're being led by the Holy Spirit. And like I said, it was nowadays, if a false pastor or evangelist can speak very well, he can have a large church that is filled with people who are more concerned about how well these people speak than about if they are teaching or preaching the true word of God. They're more concerned, oh, I like going to church. They have great worship. The pastor there or the evangelist speaks very well. And I've heard these people and I've seen them, and so have you. But the problem is they are not in the word of God. They don't teach the word of God. It's all about what you need and what God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have the best. It's all about that, but it's not about aligning your life with his word, being led by the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit convict your hearts. They were more about feelings. Oh, I want to feel good. I want to be in a utopia. I want to meditate and just, you know, there are Christians that meditate. Now, there's nothing wrong with meditating on the Word of God, but there are people doing this other kind of meditation. It's New Age. New Age has crept into the church, and it's led people away from the Word of God. It has led people away from the real being led by the Holy Spirit of God. And so the thing we must always wonder and ask God, Lord, am I being led by your Holy Spirit? Is my mind on you? Do I trust in you? Do I believe in you? And see, when we have these things in order, then the gifts are good. The gifts are not a bad thing. It's only when we put them before God. It kind of reminds me, it's not in my notes, but it kind of reminds me of when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, and where serpents were biting them and they were dying, and Moses went to God about it, and so God told them to make this bronze serpent and hang it up and high in the air, and whoever looks toward it, you don't even have to see it, but if you looked in the direction of it, if you got bit by a serpent, you know, to look toward it, and you would be healed. Well, you know what happened later on? They ended up worshiping the thing. And that wasn't what God wanted. See, they got out, oh, just like, oh, but it was God. They only had it. That was God's grace for them. That was his mercy. And they ended up worshiping it. And so the thing is that God has given us gifts, but those gifts are not supposed to stand out as far as the number one thing in my life. This is how I know I'm a Christian. This is how I know I'm in line with God. No, there are people, you know what? Palm readers, that's a gift. They're just using it wrong. They're not supposed to read your palms. But that gift, it's a gift of discernment. It could be. And then there's trickery. You know, there's certain ways that people could just look. They have a gift of looking at your life or listening to what you're saying, and they could come up with what the idea of what you're coming up with, what you're talking about. These psychologists, criminal psychologists, they're able to do that. I watched a guy on television, he just talked to these different people, and he was able to tell them about their lives, and they were so amazed by it. And so not everybody can do that. God has given everyone different types of gifts, but what's going on, they abuse that gift. They use it for something else. They don't use it to the honor and glory of God. And so Paul says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, Paul could without doubt confirm that the Corinth church knew Christ and that they believed that he had taught them about Christ. He knew what he had taught them. He saw how their lives were changed by the preaching of the gospel. He knew that they were saved. Someone said that these facts, both seen by Paul himself and reported to him by others, served to confirm his testimony about Christ to the Corinthian believers. He saw Christ. When he was there for that year and a half, he saw Christ in their lives. But when he left, things changed. But while he was there, he saw and he was hearing about, even after he left for a while, he saw that the changed lives of these believers validated the truth of the gospel message that had been preached to them. So again, just because spiritual gifts are flowing around within the congregation, like the gift of healing, a word of prophecy, or any other such gifts, does not always mean that person or church is spiritual. And when I mean spiritual, being led by the Holy Spirit. There are people that are spiritual, but they're not led by the Holy Spirit. They believe in God, but they're not led by the Holy Spirit. Nor are they saved. Not everyone who believes in God. Not everyone, remember Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what is the grace of God? Just because people have a gift does not always mean that they are being spiritually led by the Holy Spirit. It is like this: not everyone who drives a car is a good driver. Not everyone who has a spiritual gift is of God. It's from His grace. God gives us things that we really don't deserve, but He gives it to Him. That's His grace. That grace came from Calvary that He has given us through Jesus Christ. And here's another thing. Gifts do not make you any holier than any other Christian believer. But Paul knew he had preached the gospel to the Corinthian church. Someone said that this means ministry and spiritual gifts are not based upon how we're doing it all, but solely upon what God wants to do in and through us. So you see, but we were not to make a ministry out of it. We were not made he didn't give it to us to make a ministry out of the gifts that were given to us. The gift was given to the body of Christ to edify the church. That's why it was given. It was not given to us to manipulate people or draw attention to ourselves. So the question is, were these people true believers? Paul believed they were, but even so, by the reports that he was receiving, they were in great error. Seventh verse, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So a lot of grace was given to the Corinthian church. They were very blessed to have all the gifts necessary to live the Christian life, to witness for Christ and to stand against the practice of ungodly paganism and immorality that they were facing in Corinth. They saw all of that stuff. They saw the prostitute temples. They were just surrounded by sin. And I believe that this is probably one of the reasons that God gave them that much grace. Because of all the New Testament, all the writings of Paul, you won't read about another church that had as much grace as the Corinth church did. But unfortunately, they were more concerned about the gifts, to the point that they even started to compare their gifts between one another. My gift is your gift. My God loves me more because my gift is greater. They would argue over who had the best and greatest gifts. Pride was in some of those who had the gifts. Some of them felt that their gifts was more important than someone else's gift. And as we continue in 1 Corinthians, we will see how Paul will address these problems. He's going to address all of this. But again, he's starting off really nice. Have you ever gone to talk to someone and it was going to be a very serious talk? And you were going to kind of lay things down for them, or they were going to lay down things with you, and you know that it was kind of uncomfortable. And usually when two people come together to talk like that, what is it? So how's everything? Oh, everything's great. How's your week? Oh, the week has been great. It's been wonderful. Well, how about your week? Oh, yeah. You know, that conversation, then pretty soon they slowly get into why they're there. and it can end up heated. It can just end up just, and sometimes it can end up going bad. But it started off good at first. So here, Paul is starting off really, so hey, you guys are saints, and God bless you. He's blessing you and the grace. But then pretty soon, he's going to come down. He's just going to say, boom, here's the problem. And he's going to get at it. But we'll see that as we continue on in Corinthians. Then he says in the eighth verse, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul believed these people had a heart of God. He knew, like all believers, that they too were awaiting for the return of Christ. He knew this. They too were looking for him to come. They were also waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. They weren't, they had their problems, but still, there was a lot of them in there. They were still waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, during that time, a lot of people thought, except for the apostles, a lot of people thought that Jesus was around the corner. They thought he was going to come back right away. In Philippians 1:6, Paul said this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And, I'm pretty sure he even told the Corinthian church this also, that God is not done with you. He's still working in your life. He has started a good work in you, and it will not be completed until that day that you see Jesus face to face. And 1 Thessalonians 3:13, he wrote, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. And this is what they're waiting for. That's what we're waiting for, to be able to stand before the Lord God blameless. We're still going through this growing in the Lord, to trusting in him and getting close to him. We're still going through a lot of things. We still sin. We still trip. We still have problems. But what makes us different than the world is that we are focused on God. We're focused on him. You know, it's like when I used to run. I used to run every day except for Sundays, and it's dark and it's morning. I'm hitting the pavement about 4:30 in the morning, and I'm running, and I know all the bad spots, and I'm looking, I'm being very careful, and then one morning, boom, I fell. This area that I ran over, I don't know how many times, I found that little ledge, and it tripped me. And that reminds me so much of our Christian walk. We could be going along. Everything is going well. Everything is going beautiful. And then, boom, we hit that little ledge, and we trip, and we fall. And I believe this is probably some of the things that were going on in the Corinthian church. There were those that were trying to be strong, and then there were those that were kind of midway strong, and then there were those that were just messing up really bad. But God will establish our hearts. He will cause us. Through his son, Jesus Christ, we will be able to stand before him blameless. We can look at our life today and go, oh, man, oh, woes was me. My life is horrible. I make so many mistakes. And see, that's what makes it different. We realize this, and we don't make excuses. What we do, we take these problems to the Lord. We don't go, well, God understands what I'm going through, and just, throw it to the way. No, we're hurt by it. This is how you can know that you're born again. This is how you can know that you're being led by the Spirit. Because we too are looking for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We too are waiting for him to come. But in the meantime, we struggle. We have heartaches. We have pain. We have jobs. We have spouses. And sometimes they could just be a thorn in the side. But we have to stay concentrated. We have to stay focused on Jesus Christ. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see there, he said that, now may the God of peace himself sanctify, which is to set you apart from the things of the world, so that we can be completed in him, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. And we are preserved in the blood of the Lamb. So even though this church was going through some situations and some problems, Paul, rather than going directly into rebuking them, is reminding them, you are the saints of God. You are the children of God. But again, we have to think this, that any child, or when you talk about children, there is that time that you have to rebuke them. You have to say, hey, that's not what I told you to do. You're going in the wrong direction. But the cool thing is that we that are in Christ can have confidence that God, through his Son, will continue to do good works in us until Jesus returns. We have that guarantee. That has been confirmed to us through the Word of God. It was through the death of Jesus that the believer has gained grace, and it will be through him that we will be able to stand again blameless before God. That is what's so very important to understand, that we will stand blameless before him. And I believe the main reason for this is because we trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you understand his grace, when you understand that the more faith you have in him, the closer you get to him, that when you make mistakes, that you're able, even though your heart is broken, that you're able to go to him and say, Father, forgive me of my sins, forgive me of my shortcomings, and to say, forgive me to those that maybe you struck out against. See, and this is the thing, he has enriched us with that. He had enriched them with that. So when we give our whole bodies, when we give our all, our spirit, our soul and body, when we give that all to him, then he will bless us. He will enrich us. So that means our whole spirit, soul, body will be transformed into the likeness of God's Son, Jesus Christ, on that day when we stand before him. And that is what he is telling them and will be telling them. So this is the revelation that Paul is telling them. And praise God, the believers of today are waiting for Christ's return also, just like they were waiting and still wait. We're waiting. I don't know how long it's going to be before he comes back. All I just know that we are to be ready, because some of us may not live to see the next day. Some of us may not be here in a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of years. You never know. But the thing is that we're ready to be ready, to understand that we, as men and women of God, we have been chosen by him. Before the world was created, God knew that you and I, he knew that he was going to pull you and I out of sin. He knew that. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the churches of Paul's day and the churches of today are to put our trust in God and not in gifts. He's going to talk more and more. He's going to talk a little bit more about gifts in chapter 12 through 14 when we get there. So I'm not going to get ahead of myself here. So we fellowship because of Jesus Christ, not because of the gifts that one person or the church may have. Fellowship is very important. It is important that we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important that we have fellowship with one another. Some people think staying home is good enough, but he has blessed us. He has enriched us. And we are to come together and to worship him and to fellowship together. The gifts were not given to make a person seem holier than others, nor were gifts given to make money or to entertain the church. It wasn't made. I see Benny Hinn, he's an entertainer. He likes to pull off his coat and he goes like this and everybody falls back, and you have these different ones. I saw Kenneth Copeland one time, a guy's in the wheelchair and he touches the guy's head and the guy flips back, almost rolls out of his wheelchair. But you know what? The guy didn't get up and walk. It's entertainment. And people still go. People have so much hope. People, they're in so much need. They have so much wants. They're willing to believe anything. They'll travel miles, hundreds of miles, even up from other countries, to go to these so-called faith healers. At the Asbury revival that is going on, and I think I talked about this last week, this people say, I've been healed. And I'm thinking to myself, I wish somebody would go to the doctor and get it confirmed. I mean, even as Christians, We're confirmed. And how are we confirmed? We're confirmed by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit lets us know and tells us that we are the child of God, that we are saved, that the grace of Jesus Christ dwells within our hearts. So it should be our business to come together to worship our God in the name of Jesus. Paul wants the church to know that God will not be judging them on how many gifts that were in the church or any other church of today. He's not going to be judging them about that. He wanted them and us today to know that God cares about what type of fellowship we have with him and his son. That's what he cares about. And not on how we performed in our gifts. It is important to know that though we may be weak in our walk in Christ, even if our faith is a little weak at times, it is our belief in him that saves us and not our gifts. Someone wrote, "Believers need never doubt God's grace, his gifts, or his promises to give them eternal life because God is faithful. God always does just what he says. God has promised, and because he cannot lie, according to Titus 1:2, believers can be certain that all of his promises will come true. God himself had called each of the Corinthian believers into the fellowship of his son, and that all will never be overturned. And that call will never be overturned. As Paul was chosen by God to be an apostle, so every believer has been chosen or called by God. As God called the believers, so he will complete his promise to them because he is faithful." Even to these Corinthian Christians who were entangled in a whole host of problems, Paul says to them, actually, you're going to make it. Why? Because God is faithful. He is faithful. Chuck Swindoll wrote, and I quote, "As we wait eagerly for the glorious day, we can enjoy the second blessings in the here and now. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, and our Lord, based solely on his sovereign grace." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." God called us into eternal relationship with Christ that began the moment we first believed. The permanence of this relationship is based not on our own effects, but wholly on the faithfulness of God. God will confirm believers to the end, and Paul reminds us that God is faithful. So a second reward of enduring fellowship can be experienced every day of Christians' lives with a promise that he will never desert us, nor forsake us, end of quote. And we can bank on that. He will never leave us nor forsake us. In Romans 8:38-39 says, and this is one of my favorite verses, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How does that happen? It's through his grace. It's through his love for us. And people, I'm telling you, when we can focus on that, that is the thing that's going to save us. That is the thing that's going to keep us. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing should be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all. And when we look to Christ, when we look to him, we will not allow these sins to come into our bodies. We will not allow the sin. Because see, when it comes into the individual, and that individual goes to church, meaning gathered with other individuals, it can actually contaminate. But see, it's up to the body of Christ to make sure that contamination does not spread. You know, our bodies has antibodies that fight disease and different things that go in our bodies. We have red blood cells that attack certain viruses. Our body is constantly fighting, and sometimes we get sick because our body is fighting. And sometimes the church goes through things because things are going on in the church. But the good news is that the church will not die if the church continues to keep their eyes on the Lord, to continue the fellowship with Him. In Hebrews 13:5, I'll end with this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's what we can believe on and believe in. Believe and know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's going on in my life, my friends may drop off, my family members may turn their backs on me, but my Lord and Savior will never forsake me. So when these gifts, as we go through Corinthians, when Paul begins to speak about these issues, one of the things that he wants them to get back focused on is that grace that God had given them, that grace was not given to them to bully other people with. You know, today, like I said, we have evangelists and pastors. They are so blessed, and they become millionaires. And it's funny when they have a special. Oh, we want to raise money so we can buy food for the poor. And they have millions of dollars, but they're still raising money. So it's just all about money. And one of these days, they're going to have to answer for that. Every man, woman, and that is supposed to represent Jesus Christ, you know, he says, let your conduct be without covetousness, because that's what a lot of it is. I want attention. I want to be able to have these things so that people will look at me and depend on me. But we who love Jesus Christ, we who have a true fellowship with Him, those things mean nothing to us. They mean nothing. And if God has blessed us with something, because there are a lot of you have blessed gifts that God has given you. Some of you are using them for God, and some of you are still trying to figure it out. But here's the good news, is that you're not trying to bring attention to yourselves with it. You want to be truly blessed by God? Be a servant of God. Serve your brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Uplift them. Be a part of the fellowship of this body. Invite others to the church. See, this is how the Holy Spirit, this is the gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control. All these are the fruit of the Spirit. And when we have that in us, that is a blessing that God has given us. That is the blessing that He's given us to endure to the end. He has enriched us with everything that we need here to be a Christian, to be followers of Him. And what we have to do is to get focused on that. Don't let anything throw you off. Paul didn't let this throw him off. He kept focused. And he's bringing them into focus as we go through Corinthians. Let's pray. Father God, again, I just thank You for all that You've done for us, Lord. I thank You for Your word, Lord. I thank You for the gifts that You have given us, Lord. I truly believe that each person that before or after, Lord, that You have given everyone a gift. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that we realize that these gifts were given to us not to serve ourselves, but to serve others, to edify the body of Christ, to edify others, Lord, to be helpers, Lord. And Lord, we truly will understand this, Lord, when we truly fellowship with You, because You will give us that heart that wants to reach out, that heart that wants to giving us that heart that wants to edify others and to help others and to uplift others. Even You said, Jesus, to Your apostles, to love one another, because it is through that love that we show toward one another that they will know that we are of You. Lord, it's not the kind of love that overlooks sin. It's not the kind of love that accepts a person where they're at in the sense of wanting to stay where they're at after being presented to You. But it's that kind of love that will draw us out of our sins, out of our habitual ways, out of our lifestyles that are ungodly. That's the kind of God You are. That's the kind of loving God You are. So, Father, draw closer to us as we draw closer to You. And we will always give you the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.